भगवद गीता 2.11 अशोचानन वशोचस्त्वं प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासून गतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पंडितः। दिस भगवद गीता 2.11 श्री भगवान वाच सेकंड टाइम द वर्ड्स ऑफ भगव दिस वर्ड्स श्री भगवान वाच आर कमिंग फर्स्ट वाज 2.2 2.3 बट दैट वाज बिफोर द super significant event of Arjuna surrendering Karpanya Doshopahata in 2.7 happened. So there, although it was Sri Bhagavan only speaking, but he was speaking more as a friend. Here Sri Bhagavan will be speaking as a guru. And Prahasanniva, he was smiling to see the change in the mood of his disciple, but assuming the rightly grave mood, now Bhagavan starts speaking. And he calls a spade, ashochan anvashochastvam, ashochan. So the word shochati, vishidantam, shokam, lamentation, grief. Those words have come repeatedly while describing Arjuna. And Krishna says ashochan anvashochastvam. That actually that which is not worthy of being grieved, ashochan anvashochastam. You are grieving for that. Pragyavadams cha bhashase. You are, while grieving for that which is not worthy of grief, you are pragyavadams. So vada means words, pragyavadams is the words of the wise. You are cha bhashase. You are speaking. So it's interesting. Krishna is not saying you are wise, he is saying you are speaking the words of the wise. So you are speaking wise sounding words. The idea is that just speaking wise sounding words doesn't make a person wise. What makes a person wise is actually living according to those words. So even a stage actor can mimic the words of great thinkers, can memorize and mimic those words. But that does not make the stage actor into a great thinker. Similarly, Krishna is telling Arjuna that your words are lofty, but your actions belie your words. Your words speak of great wisdom, but your actions show that you are lacking in wisdom. Ashochan and Ashochastha, what is worthy of lamentation and what is not worthy of lamentation, that varies according to a person's wisdom, according to a person's maturity. When children are playing, and say children are building sandcastles on a bank of ocean, on the coast of ocean, of a sea, and then as the high tide rises and all the things get drowned, the castle starts getting destroyed by the rising of the water, the child may cry, but the parents will not cry. Why? Although the parents feel the distress that the child is going through and they would want that the child not go through that distress, but they also know that there are certain things which the child, if he is not ready to learn by hearing, he has to learn by experiencing. This is one of them.
So what we grieve about reveals the level of our consciousness. And what children grieve about, the parents do not grieve about. Similarly, as we grow spiritually, we do not grieve so much about temporary things. Ashochan anvashochastvam. So that which is not worthy of lamentation, O Arjuna, you are lamenting for that. So in this is actually a form of disapproval, chastisement. It's like telling a person almost on the face, bluntly, that there are double standards, you are being a hypocrite, you're not walking your talk. So you are not walking your talk, Krishna is telling Arjuna, that you are saying that you quote scripture and you have heard Hiti Shushruma, he said in 0.43,
and you're quoting about so many long-term future social consequences. So all these sound like the words of the wise, but you yourself, your demeanor is not like a wise person. So the point is that we all need to walk our talk if our words are to be trustworthy. If we can speak eloquently, speak insightfully, speak rhetorically, and these can all have an impact. But the point is that people, especially those who are serious seekers, you know, they want to not just hear things that sound good, but they want to see those things demonstrated in the life of those people who are teaching those things. And leave alone others, actually affecting others. You know, we may temporarily titillate others, mesmerize others by our expertise at word processing, but if you have to transform others, they need to see living inspirations of what are inspiring teachings have been given. But apart from that, even ourselves, just speaking high sounding words won't benefit us. We need to actually live those words, and living those words requires that we work with determination in making our actions harmonize with our words. So the ability to subordinate emotion to reason is one of the characteristics of maturity. Now, this does not mean suppress human emotion, but it simply means that we recognize that emotions can be misleading and emotions can be distracting, and sometimes emotions can even be degrading. So we need to check those emotions. So check in a double sense. Check means observe, and check means stop. So we need to use our intelligence and to check our emotions, to observe our emotions, to evaluate them, and to stop them whenever is required. So that is actually the sign of true learning. So unworthy causes doesn't need to get very excited about those things. So for example, if somebody is talking about writes about the great problem of poverty in society, and is talking about how so many people are suffering and this and that and that, and what the government needs to do, and like that, one keeps talking about poverty and talks in very very good sounding ways. But then suddenly that person gets the news that, oh, India lost a cricket match. That person practically breaks down, becomes hysterical, comes on the verge of breaking the television. So now, if naturally the question will come up, if you are so concerned about the poor, now the state of the poor, where they are actually battling for getting a meal, battling to live, that is a far graver problem than, say, India losing a match, even if that may be a very big match. Now, of course, those who are addicted to sports, addicted to cricket, may not feel like that. But the point is, their feelings are subjective. And especially when somebody is waxing eloquent about some other subject which is far graver in terms of being a matter of life and death. And matters of life and death are objectively definitely far more graver than the result of a particular match. So then such a person to get worked up about say the result of a cricket match, that would be unbecoming. So that's a very rough example. But the point is, Arjuna is talking about very, very grave consequences in terms of scripture. But then he is missing on a very fundamental teaching of scripture. And that's why his words, his actions and words do not harmonize. So Krishna will guide Arjuna to walk his talk, not by bringing his
behavior down to the level of his emotions, level of his unexamined emotions, but rather raising his emotions to the purest level and raising his behavior also to that level, so that there is a congruence between emotion and action at the transcendental level in pure devotion. And that's how towards by the end of the Gita, Arjuna will actually be able to act wisely. Thank you.